The Burial of the Dead is the first of the five sections of Wasteland by T.S. Eliot, and is essential in establishing a sense of beginning and a dilatory yet increasing sense of movement in life. Eliot employs a wide-ranging tapestry of engaging linguistic devices to remove this film of ignorance from our eyes and divulge the truth about modern society. The three themes that I'm going to explore and are intricately weaved by Eliot throughout this extract are the following. The first is the degradation of society and this decomposition of these moral and social values. The second is the theme of rebirth and realization, a process that is painful and hard. A third is Eliot as our prophet and characteristics of him as a prophet in terms of his impotence and also this uncertainty. The first theme I'm going to explore is that of the degradation of society. From "In Dell Roots Spread Spring Grain," this is perhaps a metaphor for the lifeless people in society which lack this emotional and spiritual connection that previously used to exist, and therefore also portrays this lack of vivacity and the mechanicality of life in modern society. Furthermore, this is further accentuated by the "A Little Life with Dried Tubers," in which the alliteration further serves to emphasize the that life is not whole, and that there's this paucity of vibrancy and vitality, and thus essentially modern life lacks what life in the past used to have. This is further illuminated by the stark contrast of the past with the present, as in the next stanza, "Summer Surprised Us," there's a clear shift in modern tone, as a grim tone is then shifted to an optimistic and cheerful mood, and therefore one can sense this brighter, happier, more intimate past. And this is further emphasized with the personal relationship shown, and therefore this is and reflected also in nature, as summer reflects this warmth in some relationships and intimacy. Furthermore, in the sibilance in "Summer Surprises Us" also has a soothing effect and makes it and thus lends itself to a more happy and optimistic interpretation. Moreover, to the use of children as well itself adds a whole new bundle of energy and life and vitality to the past, and therefore again in stark contrast the current degradation of society is made even more apparent. In the quote in German, "Bin gar kein Russenstamm aus Lithuan ich Deutsch," this translates to "I am not Russian, I come from Lithuania, I am German," and this coupled with the reference to the Archduke is historically significant, as it refers to a historical period when bombastic chauvinism and nationalism was rampant, and therefore it reflects how Eliot believes that these are during this time there was a great loss of cultural identity due to the changing borders, and this therefore reflects how Eliot believes that these are simply artificial barriers that people have created around themselves, and therefore these divisions and the friction between these divisions has eventually led to the degradation of society and the decomposition of these societal values. Moreover, in "What Are the Roots That Clutch What Branches Grow," this portrays how even nature is just managing to hold on in the wasteland, and this therefore is a stark contrast again to the previous happy and optimistic and thriving portrayal of nature. The stony rubbish is another metaphorical reference to the degraded society and this barrenness and the lack of life in the society. This is further accentuated by "A Heap of Broken Images," in which the heap therefore refers to this fragmentation of society, which is also further illustrated by the next few lines in "And the dead tree gives no shelter, the cricket no relief, and the dry stone no sound of water," in which this ascendit and listing and foregrounding of "and" tends to underpin the sense of fragmented pieces of society and the breakdown of society. Furthermore, this the dead tree obviously has connotations of death and this lack of life, and the lack of presence of water also tends to illuminate this lack of life, as water can be used to symbolize life. Moreover, in I Read Much of the Night and Go South in the Winter, I Read is also an activity that is done in solitude, and therefore this also divulges the loneliness that prevails in modern society. Moreover, in the allusion to Wagner's operatic tragic love story of Isolde and Tristan is also interesting, as this is reflective of how, similar to how in the story, this love that had this potential to be beautifully enriching is wasted. This potential in our society, our cultural moral treasure that the society used to be, has been wasted and degraded by in modern society into something that's ugly and deplorable. Furthermore, in Speak and My Eyes Failed, I was neither living nor dead, I knew nothing. This is a reference to Dante's Divine Comedy, and this therefore reflects, this is in fact taken from the section in which Dante first sees Satan, and thus this illuminates the extent of the depravity and moral corruption in our society, and therefore how appalled Eliot is by this moral corruption. The second theme I'm going to explore is that of the rebirth and this rebirth and this painful realization in society. This is reflected in the very title of the section in itself, as the burial of the dead is a reference to the Christian burial service, in which this is not only seen as a death, as something symbolic of death, but something that is also symbolic of a transitional period to a rebirth and a regeneration, and therefore is significant in terms of this rebirth that Eliot yearns us to go through. Furthermore, in the very first line, April is the cruelest month, is also significant, as April is when religious pilgrimages start, and therefore they are symbolic of this journey towards purity and a better end. And this may also be an allusion to Chaucer's Canterbury Tales, where there's this journey towards purity. It is indeed the cruelest month, as this journey is hard and painful, as we have to make a realization of the deplorable state of human condition, and thus accept that all our pre-existing beliefs were false, and thus we have to push through this journey, which is therefore makes April the cruelest month. Furthermore, this sense of hope, however, still exists due to the active verbs in mixing, covering, feeding, which is almost as though Eliot is stirring this movement in society, this beginning of a realization, as society is not yet realized, but is at least in the starting to realize the truth about society. Moreover, in Winter's Kept Us Warm is a beautifully crafted paradox, as the winter is this, it symbolizes this cold ignorance of society to what the reality of their situation is. And this ignorance has therefore given us a false sense of security, a warmth that is based upon fallacious assumptions. And therefore, this is further illustrated in Forgetful Snow, where this personified metaphor portrays to us again this ignorance and reluctance, and our own reluctance to come to terms with the reality. Moreover, perhaps this process of rebirth and regeneration is microcosmically encapsulated in "And I was frightened, he said, Mary, hold on tight, and down we went." This simple ride down the mountain may be symbolic of this process of rebirth, as at the beginning, Mary is frightened, and we are frightened to come to terms with the realization that our pre-existing beliefs no longer hold true. And at the end, Mary says she feels free, and we are also liberated of this filth of society at the end of our journey. And therefore, we have gone through this refreshing rebirth. Moreover, their shadow under this red rock is also significant in terms of religion, as the red rock is symbolic of how in Jewish beliefs Isaiah was meant to descend to the earth in the form of a red rock in the desert, and therefore the savior of mankind may essentially be symbolized by the red rock, and therefore its protective nature. This is further illustrated by the parenthetical comment by Eliot in "Coming Under the Shadow of the Red Rock," which therefore portrays his call to society to see the verity of our situation, and thus join this this rebirth. Moreover, in your shadow at morning starting behind you, this could lend itself to a tentative interpretation in that the positioning of the shadows indicates that that one is walking towards the east, and in the east, of course, is the symbol of purity and rebirth, Mecca, and therefore this religious journey is echoed by Eliot's proposed rebirth of a social rebirth, and therefore one could argue that there's this parallel exists. However, an alternative interpretation of the shadows is that the shadows are essentially this half-human, hazy version of us, these half-truths, and therefore they may be symbolic, perhaps, of our ignorance, and thus they follow us around, and and we live in this blissful world of ignorance, not able to realize the reality of our situation, and therefore he will show us something past that and allow us to look past this ignorance. The third theme I'm going to explore it. I will show you fear and a half handful of dust is beautifully encapsulating of this entire theme, as the fact that the fear in this quotation is essential, as it refers to this apt comprehension of to the extent that we have been misled and the extent that we have not been able to see the depravity and moral corruption that exists in our society. Therefore, this handful of dust is even more poignant, as everything that we have believed in, our associated beliefs, have been crushed into this, have been decomposed into this handful of dust. And therefore, I believe this quotation is extremely effective in portraying this process of rebirth and realization. The third thing I'm going to explore is that of Eliot as a prophet. Eliot adopts a third-person stance in the first stanza, and this therefore allows him to have an omniscience and objectivity of the third-person narrator, which therefore portrays how he is able to see what we are unable to see, and therefore illustrates him as the prophet. Moreover, this is also contrasted to the first person stance in the second stanza, which tends to illustrate this personal connection and therefore reflects the personal memory. There's also the sense that Eliot is a half-human, half-prophet-like figure, and that he's blurred between the two boundaries. This is further accentuated by how, while in the last stanza, his reference to Dante refers to Dante as the prophet, there's also the fact that he links this to a personal memory, perhaps his more reveals his more humanistic aspect. Moreover, this speak in my eyes fail, there is neither living nor dead, also portrays the impotence of a prophet in Greek, as is in Greek mythology, and therefore further illustrates Eliot as our prophet and our guide to a better end. There's also a sense of uncertainty throughout in Eliot's position, as he oscillates between an optimistic and grim mood, and therefore this is oscillation between hopefulness and hope hopelessness, and there's the sense that Eliot is unsure as to whether a society has the strength to reach this better end. I would like to conclude that this quotation, I will show you fear in a handful of dust, is aptly encapsulating of the three key themes that Aviv's by Eliot throughout this extract. Firstly, I will show you portrays how Eliot is indeed this prophet, and therefore he is able to show us something we are unable to see. The fear is, as aforementioned, is symbolic of our sense of realization and our true comprehension of the true nature of society, something that Eliot yearns us to understand. And thirdly, the handful of dust is also obviously symbolic of the decomposition and degradation of society and our moral values.
Okay, perfect, thank you very much. You've got 30 seconds left, so one quick question. You said that there's a personal memory in the final section, Speak in My Eyes Fail. Could you just explain that a little bit?
Well, Over here, Eliot may be referring to how he felt when he heard his friend had died at the Battle of Gallipoli, and therefore the sense of personal reflection in that some argue that there are homosexual connotations in this personal memory. However, what's essential is that there's this sense of a personal connection, and therefore the sense that Eliot is torn between his human nature and his prophet-like nature.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. We'll stop there.